Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
So how do you know if your faith is genuine and pure and true? God puts you and I in our faith through suffering to see whether it is pure and true.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Have your Bibles turned to Hebrews chapter 10, an area of hallmark of faith. There was a book that was written in 1999 called Hallmark, A History of the London Assay Office. And the author, Forbes, went on to document the whole trade of goldsmithing, really documenting the oldest form of consumer protection. And the way it was done in the area of gold was really for the last 700 years that goldsmiths would take the gold, and it was an independent testing and marking of gold or other precious metals to guarantee the conformity to legal standards of purity. And so, for the last 700 years, anytime you would know that it was a genuine gold, pure gold, they would mark it. It would be a mark that now is recognized actually by a whole other commission that does it, but up to this point, it was done by this hallmarking. That's where you hear the term hallmark. It is a definition of the purity of that gold, the quality of that gold. In 1 Peter chapter 1, although we're not going to study that text, but I want to help you understand that that particular metaphor, that picture of gold, was the same concept that Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, the testing, the melting pot of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that though it, your faith, be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And just as that hallmark was a stamp of acceptance and certification that it was genuine, it was pure of quality, it was officially accepted, that faith is compared to this gold in value and refining. So how do you know if your faith is genuine and pure and true? God puts you and I in our faith through the testing, through suffering, to see whether it is pure and true. And that really now is what you're talking about in life. Is there a hallmark of genuine, as it was with gold? And to buy this piece of gold, you would look for that hallmark that, yeah, I can trust this. And it's the same thing with faith. Because someday, every one of us are going to stand before God. It is appointed unto man once to die. And at that point, whether rich or poor, whether well-known or unknown, whether by virtue of your creed or your color or your religion or your beliefs, every one of us someday are going to face the judgment seat of God. And so whatever faith you have is going to be tested. It's going to be tested on this earth, and ultimately someday your works will be tried by fire, but your faith will be tested. So what are you basing your faith on? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works. So if someone dies and they stand before God, God is not going to be impressed with what position they've held, what clothes they wear, what religion they are. They're going to stand before God, and they're going to answer for what did they do with Jesus Christ, according to the Bible. And that's why it's so important when you end up looking at what I want to look at today, this whole area of faith. Does your faith have a hallmark? Is it genuine? Is it true? Because in our world today, there is nothing going to be done to encourage your faith in Christ. And it was no different than it was in the days in which the book of Hebrews was written. And the writer here makes this statement. And then for the rest of chapter 10, all of chapter 11, and down through chapter 12, verse about through 3, he gives an exposition of what faith is. And so in your outline, I just really want to give to you today, I'm only going to get to the first two of 3 points, come back, we'll finish that out. On the area, first of all, the explanation of the Christian faith. What in the world is the Christian faith? And I want to answer 3 very simple questions. I don't want to take time and answer the second point of the matter, which is the expression of that Christian's faith out of chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And so for this particular chapter, I just want to give you these 3 simple questions. I'm going to move through this, and very relevant, a couple of quick questions. One of them is, who wrote the letter about this faith? I think it's a fair question to ask because the explanation that Christian faith, that every Christian is urged to live by faith, so he's got to define what it is. And I think it's good to be able to say, okay, who in the world wrote the letter about this faith? The writer himself could be debatable who the writer is, but I know who the author is. The author is the Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, these holy men of old were moved as they penned the words of God. He goes, the whole book of Hebrews, let me step back, do a little teaching right here. Whole book of Hebrews, if you take 8 Old Testament passages, which is what Hebrews did, and then made explanation out of all 8 of those Old Testament passages. And one of those, the 6th one, is right here. Hebrews 10, 32 through 12, 3 is an expositive or exposition of our key text, Habakkuk chapter 2, which is the just shall live by faith. The Old Testament writer stated that. You start with, all right, who wrote the letter, which I ultimately, let's just leave it as the author of the Holy Spirit, and who are the recipients of this faith? He mentions some interesting statements. Notice in verse 38, he said, now if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We, the writer, he says, were not of them who are drawing back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And he is evidently saying, in this group of people that are reading this letter are different groups of people. There are those that genuinely believe, and there are those that really are not believing. They knew it in their head. Hey, tell me the gospel. They could tell it to you intellectually. But there was no faith mixed in. And you know what the Bible says? Evidently, these were the people now that were not saved. These were people that had in their head, didn't have a possession of life. Who were the recipients? These were the people that received and mixed in faith of what is truth. Notice as well, number C, I gave you a 3rd question that I want to answer very simply, which is, well, what kept back these Christians from faith? The genuine believers. You know what did? Chapter 5, verse 11, he said, you were dull of hearing. You were drifting through neglect. You were slow to learn. This was spiritual lethargy and a slow response to truth. You know what kept back them from faith? People that were constantly trying to say, I'm just trying to figure out everything, rather than saying, by faith, I believe that. And it caused them to have a spiritual lethargy. Literally, that's what that means. He also says, chapter 6, verse 12, he says, don't be slothful. Same kind of idea. Don't be lazy. Don't start doubting God's word. Then he also says, in addition to that, what's keeping these Christians back as well was they're weary and they're discouraged. That's what he says in chapter 12, verse 3, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, you're dull in your spirit. And all of these can be true of believers. These are the fires, if I can say it the way, that forges your faith. And if it's not stopped, then you become despising your spiritual heritage and you deliberately start sinning and you end up getting to a place, Christian now, who's saying, listen, don't fall back on the very things and don't draw back from the very truth that you believed at one time that Christ was the answer. C.H. Spurgeon made a statement years ago. He said, quote, I'd recommend you either, listen, believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There's no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the depths of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than a dry land faith, and it is not good for much, unquote. You know what he's saying? Hey, listen, if you're generally born again, my friend, he's saying, jump in. You know what God's saying? Don't draw back. Don't end up falling back. Put yourself in a place. Your faith will be tested. Someone said faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Probably truth to that. Faith is like a muscle. It's strengthened when it's worked out. And so if you understand, very simply, we talked about the explanation of the Christian faith, then what's the expression of it? What's the expression of a Christian's faith? That's what you find in verse 1 through 3. And maybe it's better to just start with the fact that it's the particulars that he mentions in verse 1 and 2. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. There are two parts there. Let me come back to it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. What is he saying in all that? What's the expression of that? Let me give it to you very simply, and in plain English, he's saying that, let me say this is what it's not. You know what it's not? It's not blind superstition. It's not blind superstition. I just kind of feel this. You know, it's like this. I just have my little meditation, my things I go through, and I get everything in line, and this is like my religion. Then you're no different, I'm no different, if that's true, than any other religion out there. It's not positive thinking. I think I can. I think I can. You might think you can and think yourself right into a place that you have nothing. It's not hopeful optimism. It's not hopeful optimism. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Listen, it's a step in the light. Are you with me? In addition to that, it's not faith in faith. I'm just like believing. Someone has wisely said, your faith is no better than the object of your faith. You do not generate faith. Faith comes from outside of yourself. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh through hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let me illustrate it this way, because I think I'm giving you too much like rhetoric. Let me give you an illustration. 1988, true story, in the evening news reported on a photographer who was a skydiver. He had jumped from a plane along with numerous other skydivers and filmed the group as they fell and opened their parachutes. And on the film, shown on the telecast, as the final skydiver opens his chute, the picture went berserk. And the announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death, having jumped out of the plane without his parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the absent ripcord that he realized he was free-falling without a parachute. And until that point, the jump probably seemed exciting and fun, but tragically, he had acted with thoughtless haste, deadly foolishness. Listen, nothing could save him, for his faith was in a parachute never buckled on. Faith in anything but an all-sufficient Christ can be just as tragic spiritually. Only with faith in Jesus Christ dare we step into the dangerous excitement of life, my friend. And my question to you would be, all right, what are you putting your faith in? You putting your faith in your own works and being good enough? You putting your faith in your religion? You putting your faith in what? That's why the writer of Hebrews says, now let me give you the expression of this. Let me explain this to you. This is what we're talking about, faith. Very simply, faith is a confidence and conviction. A confidence and conviction in a Christ-like life.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.